Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, here to the Travis Turner Show. We thank you so much for being with us here on 1340 WNBS, our show streaming live at 1340WNBS.com. We move high speed thanks to our friends at Time Warner Cable, and we welcome in our good friend Dale McAllen, our lead golf analyst. And man, oh man, are we going to put the burden on him over the next few weeks? This crazy 2016 golf schedule that includes the Olympics. Woohoo! Golf fans go crazy. Or not. The golfers are going crazy, but not in a good way. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. But it has caused a compression in the PGA Tour schedule. British Open going on this week. In fact, as you guys listen on Thursday morning, the first round has been well underway since our wee hours. But just 2 weeks later, they will contest the PGA Championship. So hopefully schedule will allow Dale to be back. We'll preview the last major, Glory's Last Shot. This is major. I don't know what they're doing anymore.
Maybe they'll have a new one this year.
Maybe they have a new slogan. But the Open Championship, a personal favorite of mine, which we will discuss in time as it returns to Royal Troon for the first time since 2004. But Dale McAllen, even at the grand old championship that is the Open Championship, the press conference topic still started with Olympic golf, and it has become the bane of players' existence, what it has done to the schedule. I think you've got a lot of guys who are going just because they feel like they have to. I'm sure some are excited about the Olympic experience. I don't know what sort of Olympic experience we got down here other than we might get mugged and catch a disease down in Rio. It's from afar, it's kind of a scary deal. But I think you and I both are of the mindset, high-level elite golf and the Olympics maybe
they don't
doesn't
mesh.
Mix.
No, it's just not a good match. You know, you and I were talking before we came on the air. The Olympics, I'm a fan of the Olympics. You know, a lot of people say they're too corporate. It's not like it used to be, this and that. I like the Olympics, but I like seeing guys like Usain Bolt, the people you see only once every 4 years. I like seeing the gymnast, the Michael Phelps, who for that two-week window, that is the sports world. I mean, the golf, I can watch Jordan Spieth or Rory McIlroy 48 weeks out of every year if I want to. And so they're already in that spotlight. It's the same way. I mean, Olympic tennis has been in the Olympics for, I don't know, since 88 or something like that. I couldn't tell you a single player who's ever won a gold medal in the Olympics. I think Steffi Graf may have won one.
She did.
So there we go. There we go. So, I mean, these high-level profile sports, I mean, I guess basketball, just because we're huge basketball fans, we may tune into that, but even the top players in American basketball a lot of times have now started using the "I need to rest up,"
yep,
those kind of excuses. And so you've got this perfect storm at Rio. Like you mentioned the Zika virus and the corruption and the crime and this and that that everyone's worried about. They've got that excuse already in there. And then Jordan Spieth wants to win the PGA Championship. He doesn't want to be flying from Troon to Rio to New Jersey in a, not say he couldn't, but it's tough.
Right.
Even if it's first class all the way, private flights, it's just not what you want to be doing. And, you know, I think Brandel Chamblee brought it up last night. One of the big strikes against golf is there's no history to fall back on.
Right.
You know, I was thinking about it at work today. If you'd seen Seve Ballesteros running around the green with the Spanish flag, then people would want to do it.
Exactly.
If they'd seen,
yep,
Jack Nicklaus, yep, get a gold medal, they would want to do it. But they've never seen that. So there's just – it's a disaster in my opinion. It's a debacle.
And I really think, Dale, that if the circumstances and the location were different, then maybe some of these guys would want to be the example.
Mm-hmm.
They would want to be Jack Nicklaus,
right,
you know, winning that Olympic medal. I think for them, if you were in a place where there was a classic golf course that you really respected,
right,
you know, you might be more excited about that. And the rest of it is, I think some more of these guys would have been interested if the schedule made more sense. But this is just really, really difficult. And I reminded our audience the other day, the NHL has gotten into the habit, because hockey has been such a big part of the Winter Olympics, and as the professionals have become a part of that scene, the NHL actually shuts down so that its top players may participate for their respective countries in the Olympics. But that, you know, that's not something that Major League Baseball does. You know, the summertime window doesn't cause the NBA to cease operations. But I'm like you. I mean, fundamentally, everything doesn't have to be in the Olympics. It doesn't necessarily fit in the Olympics. And if golf is in the Olympics, that's fine. But I don't think people should put pressure on the players and say, well, you've got to grow the game. You've got to be an ambassador for golf. Here's what strikes me. If you want to have golf as an Olympic sport, bring the great amateur champions of the world.
Right. And, you know, obviously amateur golf is not a market driver TV-wise, but I don't think this is going to be either.
Well, I ain't going to show up to watch the steeplechase either, but they still have it.
They still have it.
I think they do.
I would just as well it be amateur golf or have a match play or something like that. I mean, I'm sure there are people from certain countries of the world that this is a huge
plus.
Plus,
I'm gonna be tuned into the Quad Cities that week. So,
but Jordan Spieth will not be there this time.
Just out of pure respect,
right?
Boy, Jordan's trying to toe the good road, isn't he?
He is a very middle of the road kind of guy.
Rory McIlroy didn't get in the middle.
No, Rory is playing
the heel.
Except
to run somebody over.
Rory is playing the heel of the PGA Tour
now. He just flat out said, "I'm not here to grow the game of golf."
Yeah, that is what he said, and I understand what he's saying. And I can agree with him to a certain extent. I think he has no obligation to go to the Olympics whatsoever. Does he owe the game of golf anything? To a certain extent. But I have a feeling he does that on the side, be it a charity or things like that.
I think the other thing with McIlroy is he's been a Ryder Cupper.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Ryder Cup's coming up.
Yes.
I had a good friend remind me it was a Ryder Cup year earlier. I think he probably at some point will wish he had spoke a little differently. I suspect I mentioned this on the show the other day too. I think if he were an older man, a more experienced man, perhaps a more mature man, he will position a statement like that or a situation like this a little differently. I think he spoke though very much emotionally from where he is right now. I think he's very tired of getting these questions over and over again. And I think he's really exhausted with the suggestion that he owed it to the Olympics or to golf to go play.
Right. And, you know, you didn't really get that sense that people were coming out whenever other guys were saying, well, I'm not playing. But for some reason, he really got drilled about it. You know, why aren't you playing? You owe this to the game of golf. And it's like, well, you know, why didn't you ask these other guys this stuff?
Right. Well, and see, this is the interesting thing about the conversation that you and I have been having for 2 or 3 years now. In the vacuum of Tiger Woods, we have wondered if anybody was capable of being Tiger Woods. And that may apply to not just the greatness on the course, but the ability to handle being the dartboard and the target for everything. It's always been very interesting to me to watch the press react to Tiger Woods over the years, because some have acted as though Tiger always got a pass.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe there was a time that he did. But I've always felt like, and maybe I felt this way because I was a Tiger Woods fan, I've always felt like Tiger Woods was held to a far greater standard than everybody else.
Yeah, he probably was, but that may have been an issue of he was always the one in the spotlight,
right.
So it just seemed that way.
But he could set in the firestorm, and he usually handled these kinds of situations pretty well.
Yeah, he did, and he was, you know, he always had a team around him of people he trusted. And he wasn't going to go too far off the reservation, I don't think.
No, so, he would not have been that aggressive,
no,
I don't think.
No, I don't think so. But interesting, would he play in it?
That's a very interesting
question.
They may
need him at this point.
You know, I think what would have determined it for him, because I think it often determined his positioning publicly, is would it have been good for the brand or not?
I think that's a very good answer.
Would Phil Knight have called and said, Tiger, get thee to Rio?
Yeah, they may have. But I guess Mr. Under Armour didn't call Jordan, though.
I guess he did not.
So, but it's, you know, I just don't see any interest in this at all at this point.
No. Well, and that's the thing. And of course, I keep going back to to what you said earlier in terms of referencing the lack of history in this. There's not one of these golfers that believe they would benefit from a gold medal and they would the way would they a claret jug.
No, I think the people who are going to be really into this, if you look at the LPGA, they're all playing, but they need that exposure. I think there's going to be some guys from Asian countries or, you know, European countries that really look at this and say, this could be something for me. You know, this could lead to sponsorships.
Right.
This could lead to getting exemptions into tournaments and things like
that. Are you hoping to come back for a for an Olympic preview show?
if you'll have me, we can do one.
Bubba Watson going?
The last I heard, he's still on the team.
How does this not end in an international incident with Bubba going down there? He and Patrick Reed both. I don't know how it's going to work
out. Could be fun.
Did Kuchar take the fourth spot when Spieth pulled out?
That's the last name
he's the
I
last
saw.
Last guy, right?
So
next
I assume anyway. He's in.
Interesting.
Go America.
USA, USA, indeed. Anybody ask Phil?
I never heard his name at all.
Can't have Olympic golf no Phil Mickelson. That just seems wrong.
He's wagering on it.
Phil be there betting on it.
He's running a Calcutta.
That's right. He'd be down there taking everybody's bets. You know, also handing out stock tips.
Yes, absolutely.
In all likelihood. I'm going to get to Troon last in this front segment. Because we were going to talk, you know, Dustin Johnson here. So let's do Dustin. But first, let's go USGA.
Okay.
And the run that the USGA has had lately on rulings and also on attributing the proper name to the ladies champion. They had a rough run there trying to identify Brittany/Bethany Lang, the U.S. Women's Open champion. But the USGA battered about the face and head over their handling on some open rulings, and obviously the biggest there was with Dustin Johnson.
With Dustin. Well, first of all, the Women's Open, that's the biggest event in women's golf, and to not even get the winner's name correct, how do you do that? But
how many cocktails did that lady had?
But obviously, what happened at Oakmont, and I know it's been 3 or 4 weeks ago, so it's kind of old news, but to me, it was just an absolute disgrace. I mean, the USGA is kind of the whipping boy on a lot of things because of their financial dealings or because they're not protecting the game and this and that. And so, you know, here they have an opportunity to say, you know, we play by the rules and this and that. But you can argue about the whether or not it was a penalty. You know, it did look like the ball wobbled or oscillated or whatever. And normally that's probably going to be called a penalty. And had they just come out and said the ball moved, 2-stroke penalty, I think most people would have said, well, it's a dumb rule, but no advantage is gained, but that's the rule, and move on. But instead, they come out to the 12th tee and say, yeah, he was on the 12th, isn't that correct? Yeah. You know, he comes out and says, we may have an issue, but we're not having decided yet. So, and I've got to give – and we'll talk about Dustin, like you said, hats off to him because I don't know how he held his composure the way he did. But then everyone else in the field, it's affecting them as well because then they're like,
Where do we stand? Do
I have to make birdie on this hole? If I par out, is he going to get 2 strokes docked at the end and I win? Yeah, this
kind of changes the approach of everything.
To everything. And they just never had any, you know, they just, I don't know of anyone who came out and said, yeah, I think they handled this properly.
Well, and of course, you know what I do on all matters golf related. I refer to the great Jack Nicklaus.
Okay.
What does Jack say? And what Jack said was you asked the player, you asked the playing partner, you had a marshal handling the situation.
Right.
End of story done right there.
And that is pretty much the way it's handled on the PGA Tour that does this week by week. Hey. You go to your official and say, I didn't touch it, I didn't move it, and they're like, okay, and you move on.
I'm going to tell you something. If you're going to allow golf to be golf like it's always been, in terms of the respect for the rules and the players self-imposing penalty, they have got to get video replay the heck out of Dodge. And I'll tell you the main reason I hate the video replay is because you know who video's on? The best
golfers. The guys on the leaders. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
So you're holding them to a completely different standard than everybody else in the field. People that listen to this show hear me talk about this in every sport where replay has infiltrated the game. You act like, you know, people have always said, why do we need replay? Oh, we want to get it right. You want to get some things right.
Right.
You don't want to get everything right. You ain't getting what you don't see right.
Mm-hmm.
So let's play golf the way that we've played it since old Tom was dodging the sheep on his way to getting the claret jug.
You know, I'm with you 100%. Maybe we're just old curmudgeons, but you can get rid of all instant replay as far as I'm concerned. Or if you're going, like you said, if you talk about basketball, is that out of bounds at one with a minute 59? Just any more important than the one at 2 minutes and 1 second that can't be reviewed? I know you brought it up about baseball. Well, you know, if I get down 2-0 in the count, and it should be, you know, one ball and one strike,
changes everything.
It changes a lot of
fundamental
things.
You know, so what are we gonna do? Put body cams on every golfer?
Right. So you can get rid of all of it. I think the PGA Tour probably does it the right way, because I don't think if a golfer is ever found out to be cheating or playing loose with the rules, they're blackballed.
Yeah.
And so they don't do it.
And the players don't like the USGA, do they?
Not really. No. So it was terrible. And I couldn't believe it. And I really thought, when it came out and they're like, we've got a possible rules official, first of all, I'm thinking it could only happen to Dustin Johnson.
Absolutely.
You know, the way they handled it was just – I was sitting there thinking, I cannot believe this is happening.
What did you think? Some of the players said, hey, if you don't want the balls to roll around on the green –
slow down the greens.
Yeah, don't leave them Balder and Scott Van Pelt.
Yeah. And they've got a point there. You know, the British Open, they will occasionally have to call play because – you can't get the ball to stop.
Yeah, and see, that's already been brought up. I've seen some guys talk about that'll be an issue this week when the wind gets
right up.
But the RNA, which a lot of people say, hey, the RNA will get it right because you've got some wise old heads here. But the RNA's even been motivated by what they saw. I've seen some columns that they've taken note of what happened, and they've sort of made sure that they are very clear in terms of outlining, hey, this is our policy, this is how we're going to handle these things. And they've made it pretty clear, if we've got an issue, we're going to handle it right there, right then.
Right. Well, if you think back to when Dustin Johnson had the penalty strokes at Whistling Straits, whatever that was, 7-8 years ago, they come to him on the green, they say it might be an issue, you know, we check it out, and they wind up saying, yeah, you did make a penalty stroke. All they had to do was, they didn't have to say anything to him at all. Just play the tournament out. As long as he hasn't signed that scorecard, it's fine.
Right.
And then talk to him in the scores tent and say, you know, don't sign it yet. We're going to look at this and then figure out what happens.
But if
no one knows, then it doesn't affect – it doesn't
but
change
for you,
the way
if
play.
The player gives his assessment and the playing partner –
then it's done. I'm fine with that.
Books.
I'm fine with that.
But he did handle it well. And you and I –
he was amazing.
You know, we exchanged communication that day about the poise there. And, you know, the interesting thing about this guy, and he's received universal praise for the way that he handled himself. And I was watching some of the press conference comments the other day, and Ryder's, you know, they were talking about, somebody asked the question, you know, what causes him stress? And he just grinned and, you know, not much. And it's interesting to see him now, after winning this major and getting himself on a hot streak playing some great golf, people are now looking at that easygoing, kind of goofy manner of his, something that, you know, people said he's not focused enough to win majors. Now people are looking at him saying, hey, this guy's he's well-equipped to handle hard times.
Yeah, you kind of got the feeling. And, you know, we talked about it when we did our preview for the U.S. Open. You picked him to win, so hats off to you. And there was never any doubt that he had the game to win multiple major championships. It was always, he seemed snake bitten or cursed or whatever. Now that's off his shoulder, I think the floodgate may open.
Well, and to follow at Firestone,
yeah,
it really made me think, yeah, maybe a door has been kicked down here, and here comes this guy. And there are some who are looking at him at Royal Troon and the makeup of this golf course. And I have read one analyst who suggested his length, he's going to be able to play by and over bunkers that a lot of guys are going to lay up to make sure they don't get to. He's maybe playing this week on a different golf course than everybody else.
Well,
he does that a lot.
He does that a lot. I mean, just about every week he goes out there, he's playing a different golf course. You're talking about the first six or seven holes, I think they're all under 400 yards, or right around 400 yards. So, I mean, he's going to be putting for eagle or chipping for eagle on a couple of them probably. The back nine is where this course, you know, gets its bite. I mean, you're talking about, I think, four of the nine hardest holes are like 10 through 14 or something like that. There's a stretch right there that's really, really hard. But he could be off and running after nine holes. He could easily be 5 or 6 under par if he's playing well. And right now, there's no reason to think he's not.
You know, I've always wanted to be Scottish. Uh-huh. I just, you know, I would really love it, the whole kilt and everything, right. You know. I think all golf should be played on Scottish style links. I think there's no question about that. So I'm glad to be back in Scotland at what is now Royal Troon. It wasn't always Royal Troon. I think it didn't become Royal Troon until it had been around for about 100 years.
Yeah, okay.
It was Troon or Old Troon. The championship course is referred to as Old. The other course there at Troon is Portland.
Very good.
It's a little further inland.
Okay.
Yeah. So
good info.
I'm enjoying showing off there,
I like
obviously.
That.
I think we're coming back here again for the first time since 2004.
It's been a while.
Troon, by the way, is only about 3.5 miles from Prestwick,
home
where
the first
Opens were played.
We're full of facts today.
Yeah, baby. You know I love this championship. I dig it. Home course of Colin Montgomery.
Yes.
Who's back. He qualified here.
Great.
Going to hit the opening tee shot. That one doesn't count against him, I don't think. Home of the postage stamp.
Postage stamp.
123-yard par three.
One of the great short par threes in golf.
But you said it. The signature here, this is a traditional links in the way of St. Andrews. You go out.
Yep. You come back
and
in.
You come in, and you come in typically
normally
to the wind.
Into the wind.
The Black Knight himself, Gary Playerdale, has said, if the wind is a-blowing, the hardest back nine in all of golf.
I was looking at some stuff last night. It is really, really hard. The 11th hole is, I guess, kind of, other than the postage stamp, is their most known hole with the trains or the railway running right next to it, out of bounds all down the left, trains running down the right. I think that's – you mentioned Colin Montgomery. I don't remember if it was the year Justin – probably the year Justin Leonard won. Here was Colin Montgomery's big chance to win. He's going home. He's played this course hundreds of times. He gets on the – 11th hole, I think, was his second of the day, and he puts a ball in the train tracks, and it's all over for him from there. So it's a very, very difficult hole. 18's another, you know, it's going to be a great finishing hole with the huge, huge galleries all wrapped around, just like you always see at the Open. So it'll be good, but I think they're calling for a lot of wind this weekend, so that's always a plus if you enjoy watching the Open. I would think the guys can get off to a good enough start. They can cobble together some under par scores, though.
You like this golf course?
It's been a while since we've seen it, so it'll be good to get renewed. It's not one of, you know, obviously I think Americans think British Open. You've got obviously St. Andrews. Muirfield's probably the classic golf course. Carnoustie's kind of known as the
Monster,
beast of
yeah.
of the Rota. And then you've got these that kind of just get thrown in there that if you were ever in Scotland, it'd be a great honor to play it. It's probably not on people's bucket list, I'd say that, though.
You and I should probably go play it sometime, though.
Probably.
Just, you know, we're going to be over there, so we just
Let's
stop
do it.
We stop in and see. I think when Bob Herrick ranked the rotation, and he even included some of those that are no longer mm-hmm. in, like he had Prestwick on the list. I think he had Troon somewhere in the middle of the 14 courses that he ranked. St. Andrews was number one. I feel like, and I mentioned this when I talked about the article, I feel like Bob put St. Andrews there because we all feel like St. Andrews should
be there
as the home of golf. But Muirfield really is regarded
as the
best, great, great golf course.
Right.
And then Carnoustie, just carnasty to golfers.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think Muirfield, if you didn't know which course you were playing, you said which course was the best, I think most people would say Muirfield. But St. Andrews, I mean, you can't really argue with that.
Royal Birkdale got high ratings from him
all right.
there in Northwest England.
Very good.
I'm just living a British Open dream.
When are we going?
Well, we do need to go. I mean, we really do. We need to, at some point, we get the kids raised. We got to go over.
You got it in the budget here?
We're going to have
live remotes.
But it's going to take us a while to get the kids raised.
Yeah.
So we can begin to build. We could just get one of those Kickstarter, those GoFundMe
sure.
deals.
I'm
sure our listeners want to send us.
Absolutely. It'd be great.
We just got a wee breeze here today. It's about 6 clubs worth. You know that, and that's one of the amazing things too, is that these golf courses can just it changes so much based on that wind. It's amazing. It
yeah,
really
I mean, you like you said, when you go out and then come back in, you're basically playing two different courses.
Yes.
Every day, and that's what links golf is all across. You know, the European, all across Europe and England, particularly, of course. It's you know, there are days that you and I could probably go out to St. Andrews and post a pretty decent score.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And there are days you and I could go out there and be out of balls by the fourth
or
fifth hole.
Right, because in benign laying conditions where it's just it's calm, you have wide driving areas to drive the ball into. The holes aren't particularly long mm-hmm. under those conditions. The green speeds are not more than
out
we can handle.
Mm-hmm.
It, you know, it is a very playable golf course, but then you get that wind and you have trouble controlling your flight and you have trouble controlling the ball along that very firm ground. And now you're in those menacing pot bunkers and you are there to stay.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me. And that's what we've talked about this over the years. That's what the RNA is so great about doing. They're not out there to, I don't want to say embarrass the golfers, maybe like the USGA. They're not out there to, you know, the Masters Committee's taking some heat for Tiger proofing the course,
right.
or you know, just making it so difficult yep. that a lot of guys, they show up, they know they have no chance of winning. The British Open, you know, it happens every year. You get these guys from all around the world. A lot of times you see that leaderboard after the first day or two and you're like, I've never even heard of some yep. of these people. And it's because they just let it, they just play golf. I mean, they set the tees up, mow the greens a little, and they're ready to go.
How can you handle the lay of this land and the weather that comes with it? That's the question.
Yeah.
And if you can handle it, if you've got mental fortitude, got to have some of that.
Absolutely. You're
going to have some well-struck shots that don't turn out well in the British
yeah.
Open.
Yeah, and that's one of the great, that's one of the big keys of it all. You are going to, you might hit a great drive and get up to your ball and find that it's rolled into a pot bunker. And how do you handle that?
And if you can't handle it, you might find your name atop those gorgeous, gorgeous yellow leaderboards.
Yes. With flags all from all around the world.
You know, of course, if we go over to the British Isles, if we make it over to glorious Scotland to play some golf, we do need I need to go to an open though. I need to go to the event.
Yeah, it's
I'd like to be
I think
there.
They said they were expecting like 200,000 people a day. You just get on the train and there's no they don't set any limits on how many tickets. It's just show
might
up
have to, might
and
have
go.
To might have to save and pack some pimento cheese from Augusta though, because the cuisine I'm not sure is agreeable to us. I never hear
you think
things.
They've got haggis
they
at
have
the
to.
Concession stand?
Traditional. You got to. I don't know if they have it in the nice wrapper like they do at
not in the nice green wrappers.
That comes. Can't wait for the stylings of a man, Dan Jenkins. Dan, of course, will be watching it on TV like us.
Yes.
But he always gives me a giggle during the major championships.
He will. He
I
will
saw,
be on top of it.
I saw Sergio Garcia make somebody shortlist as a contender this week. Is he going to make yours?
We're going to find out, aren't we?
I'm waiting with great anticipation. You will, too, but you don't have to wait long. We're going to get you off to a commercial timeout when Dale and I come back. We'll take a look at the field, who are the dark horses, the contenders, and ultimately – the winner coming up after the break here on 1340 WNBS.